Terrific. So today I'm going to be talking about the state of HIV primary care integration and the results of a national provider survey that Health HIV conducts annually or has for the last 3 years. Health HIV is a national nonprofit based in D.C., and our mission is to advance effective prevention, care, and support services for people living with and at risk for HIV by providing education, capacity building, health services research, and advocacy to organizations, communities, and professionals across the United States. I have no disclosures today to present or to discuss. And as far as the overview of the presentation, I really want to go in and talk about some of the major drivers, which I'm sure all of you are well aware of and have heard numerous times during many presentations, so we'll do that quickly. I want to provide an overview and discuss the findings of the third annual State of HIV Primary Care Survey, discuss implementations related to the HIV workforce, identify some educational needs that primary care providers have indicated that they are looking for and desire. Talk about the perceptions that both HIV care providers and non-HIV primary care providers have around HIV care. And ultimately end on discussing the issues that need to be addressed in order to integrate HIV into primary care. So just as the quick overview, we have 1.2 million people living in the United States still with HIV, 50,000 new infections occurring for the last two decades, 18% of those individuals, 18% of people do not know their HIV status, that they're living with HIV and do not know that, and 50% of all new infections occurring in the U.S. are attributed to those not knowing their HIV status. We have 32% of people that are coming and getting an HIV diagnosis for the first time with advanced HIV disease or AIDS at that point. And 50% of individuals who are aware of their HIV status are not adequately engaged in care. People with HIV are thankfully living longer and at times managing multiple chronic conditions. Thus their healthcare is increasingly being delivered by primary care providers or HIV specialists operating in primary care settings. When we look at the changes in HIV clinical and setting changes, we have new biomedical advances that have really changed HIV. We have moved from that a fatal condition to that chronic manageable condition with simplified therapies. We have new biomedical prevention interventions, which is expanding prevention into HIV clinical care, which will ultimately require greater access beyond HIV specialists. We have the HIV care moving into different settings, integrating into primary care and to health centers around the country, which are offering primary care services. We have significant gaps, as you see our illustration of the HIV care continuum. The visualization that in the last couple of years have become the prominent gauge of success and indicating our national challenges that we have with retention and viral suppression along the continuum. So as the HIV service delivery and the broader public health systems are undergoing really fundamental transformations right now that hold promise and peril for HIV patients as ACA moves toward full implementation, at the center of this changing environment is really the integration of HIV primary care. When we started to do this survey, there wasn't data that was available on the state of HIV care by provider type in the country, the status of integration into primary care, what does that look like, and the interaction between clinical and non-clinical organizations and how they're working across the HIV care continuum. We developed with our partners Medscape a 56-question instrument that was distributed electronically online through Medscape and SurveyMonkey. We recruited participants using a variety of open invitations, using targeted email lists, monthly newsletters, website postings. We've asked other individuals that may be in this room to help distribute that survey. The results that I'm going to be talking about today are a convenient sample, of course. So generalization of those results should be, we would use caution when the using generalizations. No incentives were provided for participation in the study, which typically took 40 to 45 minutes to complete. So what do we wanted to do? What we wanted to assess this year was ACA implementation. Ultimately, what does that look like on the field? Has HIV workforce changes occurred in the last year? Look at some of the gaps between clinical and non-clinical services. Catalog funding shifts that have happened since ACA implementation, and identify changes in patient comorbidities, assess patient and provider barriers to care, and gather perspectives on retention in care. When we distributed the survey, we received 2,531 results from all 50 states, U.S. territories, and 28 countries. And we began whittling down the number to ultimately focusing these results on 371 respondents who are prescribing providers in the U.S., MD, DO, NP, or PAs, who are working in the scope of primary care. And the scope of primary care that we used was that as defined by the American Academy of Family Physicians. When we looked at that population, we did a profile of the provider who participated in the survey. 72% were white, non-Hispanic, female, a medical doctor, practicing in an urban setting, 50 to 59 years old, having an HIV specialty degree or a specialty credential, working in the South, and in a clinic that primarily treats HIV. We then took the 371 providers and we divided them by those providers who provide HIV care and those providers who do not provide HIV care, which we have termed non-HIV PCP provider. And 51% of our sample provided HIV care and 49% of the sample did not provide HIV care. So as we focused on the HIV specialist population in the sample, we quickly learned that 87% of those specialists who responded to the survey are now working in a scope of primary care. So they have left a specialty care setting and are also providing primary care in a clinical setting. We also identified that HIV PCPs who identified themselves as HIV specialists were significantly more likely to provide HIV services than HIV PCPs who were not specialists. And that this also provided an opportunity that we heard through the survey to be able to leverage mentoring opportunities to train new HIV PCPs using HIV specialists. We also saw the HIV caseloads are increasing overall. 50% of those surveyed see over 100 HIV patients, and 49% have seen an increase in their HIV caseloads in the last 12 months. And we have 60% of all those individuals expected to have an increase in their HIV caseloads in the next 3 years, primarily as a result of more individuals accessing care, staff turnover, or retirement, and practice improvement projects that are occurring within their settings. When we looked at obesity, the most common co-occurring conditions, we saw the largest increases in incidents occurring in the HIV community identified by the PCPs were obesity, syphilis, cardiovascular disease, depression, and renal failure. Comparing this survey to last year's survey, the decrease in comorbidities occurred in opportunistic infections. We also, when looking at the HIV workforce, providers were telling us that 40% of them indicated that the number of providers treating HIV in their service areas is less than the demand for services, so the need for more services. And with 55% of individuals over the age of 50 retiring, this is really an indication of our aging workforce. And a significant individuals are reaching retirement age, those first-tier HIV specialists. HIV PC barriers to providing HIV care, those PCPs that are providing HIV care identified a number of structural barriers to providing HIV care that included the lack of support staff to take time to take on new roles and procedures, transportation issues, getting their clients to clinical settings, the clinical provider indicating that they don't have additional time to take on new roles, the clinic hour operations, and the lack of referral to partner or services not offered within their organization. For those individuals who were not treating HIV, the PCPs not treating HIV, they identified both knowledge and structural barriers. They identified a lack of competency in the HIV disease treatment, a lack of clinical time to take on new roles, and I heard that yesterday during a poster presentation I was doing, and the lack of support staff time to take on new roles as well. When we looked at HIV screening, we quickly realized that HIV primary care providers were more likely to provide routine HIV testing than not, but 30% of those providing HIV care still used a risk-based methodology to determining which patients they offer HIV testing to. So this is a clear indication that the CDC and USPSTF guidelines for HIV screening are not being implemented fully. When we asked about perceived barriers to seeking HIV care, those individuals treating HIV, the HIV PCPs, indicated that 62% of individuals that had barriers to care were related to substance use and mental health. When we looked at the non-HIV PCPs, 39% of them identified the ability to pay as the number one issue, and HIV stigma in the community as the secondary issue. I was happy to see, I think, the change in government funding that has occurred within the last year. Three quarters of the providers indicated that Medicaid was the primary, was one of the primary sources of funding in their clinics for HIV services. And again, 40% of those, 76% responding to this, indicated that they saw an increase in reimbursement from Medicaid over the past 12 months. Then the majority of HIV care is still being provided by government funded sources. When we asked providers to identify the most significant challenges they have with clients, retention in care came up as the largest challenge across the HIV care continuum. And we asked providers then if they could identify for us the most effective ways that they believe that they ways to retain clients in care. And overwhelmingly, both the HIV PCPs and the non-PCPs indicated that a strong patient-provider relationship is essential and to helping patients access services and resources outside of their particular clinical practice. When we looked at educational needs, those that are providing HIV, the HIV PCPs, 40% of them desired educational activities related to the co-management of HCV with patients. Retention and care immediately came second, along with antiretroviral therapy as the third, for second and third line regimens as our fourth area. When we asked non-HIV PCPs to define their educational needs, they were asking for information related to basic HIV prevention counseling and HIV treatment education services. And also, just to note that of the HIV PCPs that were that responded to the survey, 27% of them saw an increase in the number of patients that did have a co-infection with that were co-infected with HCV. So we moved on to asking about PrEP services. And about half of the HIV PCPs responding to the survey indicated that they would provide PrEP services, or they do provide PrEP services, but only 35% of them have indicated they have actually implemented a PrEP with a patient in the past 12 months. And then we went on to ask the non-HIV PCPs if they offered PrEP and the reasons they were not offering PrEP. 26% of them felt that their patients did not fit a profile of offering HIV, offering PrEP services. Cost, all of their patients were living with HIV, or there was no interest from their patients for PrEP services. When asking about healthcare reform implementation, providers overwhelmingly believe that there would be an improvement in access to care, retention, the quality of HIV care being provided, and adherence as a result of healthcare reform implementation. And 60% of those providers believe that Ryan White Care Act is going to change as a result of healthcare reform implementation. So some of our major findings that we took away from the survey were that PCPs, those treating and not treating HIV, still need HIV clinical education. There is a greater need to leverage HIV specialists as mentors for other PCPs to address workforce shortage issues. HIV PCPs are already strained and facing workforce challenges that will only increase in the coming years as more HIV-positive individuals enter care. And an increase in resources, there is a need for increase in resources in underserved communities and to encourage provider types, both clinical and non-clinical, to work together in identifying best practices for retention and care in communities. As we all know, there's a strong correlation that exists between mental health, substance use, and poor health outcomes for people living with HIV. As health reform is implemented, providers should receive training to address these challenges in the community to be able to access mental health and substance abuse services more readily. And providers should be trained more thoroughly on health reform itself, especially changes to the service delivery and reimbursement practices. Providers, both HIV and non-HIV, do need to have more information related to PrEP services, including the target audiences that should be that they should prescribe PrEP to or have the ability to prescribe PrEP to. Health HIV did create a roadmap related to the integration of HIV into primary care. This roadmap really is a snapshot of the data that we extracted from this year's survey, talking about the recruitment, education, treatment, collaboration, and the ability to act on the ACA. And this is all available for download on our website, the full report. I do have some handouts in the back that provide the web link to that report that you can access. And that's the conclusion of our State of HIV Primary Care Survey.